Project Creep. The lights went out, the orange dry. We blamed it on the other guy. So thick you can stir with a stick. Free Teflon, whitewash presidency. We're sick of being jerked around. Wear that on your sleeve. Broadcast me in joyful noise. You to the times, Lord, count your blessings. We're sick of being jerked around. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Lawrence Wilkerson, who's a retired United States Army colonel and former chief of staff to United States Secretary of State Colin Powell. In 2005, he went public with his knowledge that Vice President Cheney had provided the guidance that led to America's torture disgrace in Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, and elsewhere. Currently, he teaches courses at the College of William & Mary and George Washington University. Welcome to Background Briefing, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson.
Thanks, Ian. Glad to be with you.
And if you and Colin Powell were in the Obama White House, what advice would you be giving him about this red line over Syria and the possible use of the chemical weapon sarin, given the chaos that is already in Libya from that intervention and clearly an intervention in I think we're heading for even more chaos in Syria?
I would personally be very, very careful about what anybody in the intelligence community tells you, Mr. President. And second, I would say, think about it from a strategic point of view. Put yourself in Bashar al-Assad's shoes and just ask yourself, would this man, under the circumstances he now is involved in, even think about using chemical weapons? This is an absurdity that's been made even bigger by the fact that people are blowing it out of proportion. I would guess at this point that it's either a false flag operation by the Israelis or by someone else with a vested interest in taking Assad out. I would have no belief whatsoever in anyone who told me that Bashar al-Assad was stupid enough to use chemical weapons against his own people.
Of course, the evidence is based upon Israeli photographs, and our previous guest, Iraq UN Special Weapons Inspector, said that's absolutely ridiculous to base evidence on photographs.
And as I understand it from my contacts in the intelligence community, whom I respect and still listen to, this has something to do with blood samples. There is a chain of evidence that no one can corroborate other than the Israelis. And with those conditions alone, if I were the Secretary of Defense or the President, I'd throw it out. I wouldn't even consider it. Move on to the next point.
Well, if that's the case, then this must be in the context of Israel's apparent determination, or at least the Netanyahu government's determination, to get United States to get into a war with Iran, which they've been pushing for, about 2 years now.
I think that's the case. I think Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Bob Menendez on the Democratic side, they're all in cahoots with this effort. I think they see Syria as a back door into Iran because Iran is providing substantial support to Assad. They almost have to because we have forced Damascus and Tehran into this really unholy alliance. They would not normally be friends. We've forced them into what they're doing together. That said, I don't believe that we're looking at any possibility in the near future anyway that U.S. forces bombing clandestine boots on the ground could ameliorate the situation in Syria at all, as some of my colleagues are trying to encourage me to be for. I think all we could do is exacerbate it and make it even worse, and as you said, open the door for those who would ultimately look at Tehran as the target and not Damascus.
And again, I'm speaking with Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, retired U.S. Army colonel, former chief of staff to United States Secretary of State Colin Powell. He now teaches courses at the College of William & Mary and George Washington University. This week, of course, was the opening of the Bush Presidential Library in Dallas, Texas, attended by the five living presidents. At this point, there's an effort of revisionist history going on with George W. Bush's former spokesperson, Dana Perino, and Fox News pundits revising history to suggest that Bush kept us safe from terrorists while Obama did not. And the extraordinary thing is this glaring omission of 9/11 from this latest revisionist history. So what do you make of that?
Well, I was out in Dallas when they had the ceremonial opening with all the presidents in attendance, and I listened to Bush say something, I could almost quote him, that just blew me off my feet. He said, "I want people to come to this library and see that we lived up to our convictions." Just the week before, I had heard the Constitution Project's Task Force on Detainee Treatment, including people like Asa Hutchinson from the Republican Party, Tom Pickering, other reputable people, tell me that in a two-year study they had concluded, one, we did torture, two, it was authorized at the highest levels of the land, read vice president and president. So how in the world can the former president stand there in front of that library and in good conscience say that he wants people to come in and see that we lived up to our convictions? Mr. President, you no more lived up to our convictions than Attila the Hun.
Well, do you think that any of these officials, Bush, Cheney, et cetera, Wolfowitz, do they recognize the systemic and widespread and continuing danger that crossing this line has done to U.S. foreign policy and to U.S. standing? For example, in the Magnitsky affair, where the U.S. are objecting to the Russian treatment of human rights treatment of an official who was murdered, even though he's a whistleblower, he died in prison, even though he's a whistleblower, they put him in prison instead of the crooks. And Putin's response to that is, well, you know, you guys torture in Guantanamo. So every dictator on the planet has that comeback.
They certainly do. It's hurt our reputation across the world. And unlike Moscow or Beijing or even Brasilia or New Delhi, our reputation is a real part of our actual power. When you diminish our reputation, you diminish our power. And that's what's happened all across the globe. I talk to diplomats in Beijing, in Moscow, and elsewhere who say what you just said. We're hypocrites. Putin's even suggested getting a state sponsors of terrorism list going in Moscow and putting the United States at the top. The sad thing is there's some rationale for that. We've done nothing but hurt ourselves, and I've got to say, and we're continuing to hurt ourselves dramatically with this increased drone use around the world, where we are taking it to the terrorist, if you will. And what we're doing, it in many cases, is taking it to innocent civilians. And what this is doing is further eroding our reputation. Not only that, it's also setting a precedent that has no international law, no national law, nothing associated with it, no ethical code. We are leading the world in this technology, and we're acting as if it's something that's gleefully to be used. We're doing enormous damage to our reputation, and we're creating more terrorists in the process.
Well, it's pretty clear in retrospect, is it not, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, that Bush and Cheney riled up a billion Muslims. This rage over drones, it looks as though it could become blowback and that we could be enduring attacks like the Boston bombers attacks for decades to come. You know, asymmetrical warfare is the warfare of the moment, and it will be for some time. The weak strike back against the strong with whatever means they can get their hands on. Do you think that this is blowback from riling up all of these this entire religion, which Bush and Cheney,
I think you're right. I think Akbar Ahmed, professor at American University and a leading world anthropologist, is right when he says we're aiding now, in the name of counterterrorism, all these authoritarian central governments to essentially fight their peripheries. And we're doing it with drones. And these drone strikes are not something that's just going after terrorists. They're going after innocent civilians, too. You have places in Pakistan right now where people won't even go to funerals or go to weddings because they're so frightened to look up and see a rocket coming down and killing them. So this is not increasing our security. It's decreasing it. And furthermore, more people die on the highways in the United States every year than have died in the entire history of terrorist attacks. So what are we doing this for? That's a huge question that Americans simply aren't asking. What are we doing this for?
Sure, and every day in America there are 15 deaths from workplace accidents, and we saw what happened down in Texas. But let me ask you, Colonel.
Incidentally, Ian, what happened in Texas, I'm hearing from government contacts, has a lot to do with the shredding of the regulatory agencies that Dick Cheney did when he was vice president. There was not the kind of regulation vis-a-vis explosives and ammunition factories and so forth that there should be, because Dick Cheney eviscerated it while he was in office.
Well, let's talk about what last time we spoke at the very end, you mentioned to me, given the revisionism going on from Bush surrogates and Fox News pundits, that Bush kept us safe from terrorists and Obama didn't because of the Boston bombing and this huge omission of 9/11. You were saying that what you think haunts Bush and Cheney is that their reckless endangerment of the United States prior to 9/11, and that they even expected to be impeached at the time.
I think there's some truth to that. I think Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld got lost, we now know. 9/11 Commission tried to hide this, did a very clever job of hiding it. They got lost for at least 35 minutes post 9/11, post the strikes. No one could find them. Dick Cheney lied to the 9/11 Commission about this and about other matters. The 9/11 Commission, to a certain extent, was a whitewash in that respect. We still don't know exactly what happened in that 30 to 35 minutes, but we do know that Flight 93, had it completed its mission and hit the White House, could have probably been stopped had Cheney not been lost somewhere and given the order to the pilots who were flying over Washington at that time to shoot that airplane down. He claimed he did. He did not. Not in time. So this is something that still needs looking into. It won't get looked into because in the United States, we do not do these sorts of things.
Well, isn't that one of the problems? First of all, the inquiries were whitewashed. But then you've got this bizarre phenomenon of the 9/11 truthers propagating conspiracy theories that incidentally were shared by the Boston bombers and their mother. And the best way to discredit and muddy the waters is to give it to the conspiracy theorists and the nutcases, and then nobody wants to touch it. And that seems to be the problem here, that in a curious way, the conspiracy theorists are serving as cover-ups for Bush and Cheney's reckless endangerment for failing to prevent 9/11.
You're right. Usually the lies that are told, whether they're told by conspiracy theorists or people in government trying to cover up their own errors, do that sort of thing. The old adage about the truth shall make you free has some resonance and some accuracy to it. We just don't have the truth.
So tell me, I don't know whether you've seen, Colonel Wilkinson, the video that's gone viral. Millions of people around the world have seen it, of a young paralyzed Iraq war veteran, Thomas Young, who is essentially committing suicide. He's in so much pain that he's decided not to continue his suffering. And he's written an open letter to Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and George Bush saying, in terms of George Bush, he says that I think Bush was manipulated by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz. But just quoting from his letter, "You sent us to fight and die in Iraq after you, Mr. Cheney, dodged the draft in Vietnam, and you, Mr. Bush, went AWOL from your National Guard unit." Do you think that a powerful message like this from somebody that did serve his country, apparently he signed up after 9/11, yet we have all of this, well, you were saying earlier in Dallas now, it's all, no apologies. Both Bush and Cheney have said effectively that they've tortured, and they're proud of it.
Powerful, powerful story that young man tells. I was at Project Healing Waters fly fishing event last night down in Syria, Virginia, where we were honoring disabled veterans, wounded warriors, and helping them to cope with their wounds by learning how to fly fish. And one of the captains who had been badly wounded at my table essentially said exactly what that guy said. He essentially said, "Don't ever tell me about wars of choice again. Wars of choice make me sick." That's what a lot of veterans feel.
So is the record ever going to be clear, both in terms of the consequences of torture, or the folly of Iraq, the real incompetence of the Bush-Cheney and arguably the Cheney-Bush first term? My understanding is that they're pretty estranged. They don't really talk to each other, and and Bush sort of woke up towards the end of his first term, realizing how much Cheney had essentially captured his own government. And you mentioned earlier that he shredded all the regulations. Is this history ever going to come out, do you think?
I think eventually, maybe 25 or 30 years, when all the moratoria come off, the classified documents and so forth. Well, let's just take the torture issue. The two-year project of the Constitution Project has revealed what happened, but they didn't have any access. They didn't have subpoena power, and they didn't have any access to the classified material, like, for example, the Senate Armed Services Committee did. The first thing that committee ought to do is release this classified information. They can redact sources and methods. That would not be difficult. Release this information to corroborate in a much more visceral, much more official and documented sort of way what the Constitution Project has done from the public sources. They won't do that, though, because then we've got war criminals. We've got war criminals at the highest level of the United States government.
Well, there's also a similar 6,000-page report based on CIA classified material that Senator Feinstein has with the Senate Select Intelligence Committee. Why don't they release a declassified version of that?
They could redact that too, protect sources and methods quite adequately, and let the American people see exactly what happened. Resounding answers to two questions were furnished by the Constitution Project's task force. One, did the United States torture? Absolutely it did. Two, was it authorized at the highest levels of the land? Yes. Well, domestic and international law says you won't do that upon penalties. Has anyone been punished other than the lower level people?
Well, Colonel Wilkerson, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Lawrence Wilkerson, who is a retired United States Army colonel and former chief of staff to United States Secretary of State Colin Powell. In 2005, he went public with his knowledge that Vice President Cheney had provided the guidance that led to America's torture disgrace at Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, and elsewhere. Currently, he teaches courses at the College of William & Mary and George Washington University. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back joined by Joan Walsh, who will be talking about what's the matter with white people.
Idiot wind blowing in through the front door. Idiot wind blowing in from the back. Idiot wind blowing in from every crevice, every crack. Anybody want to tell it like it is to each other? Like you would to a sister or a brother. Cut this cosmopolitan.